Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Ben Mezrich has earned legions of fans and critical acclaim for his brand of highly addictive narrative nonfiction, telling true stories that place the reader in the center of the action. He's the author of 12 books, including The Accidental Billionaires and Bringing Down the House, both of which were made into major motion pictures. Now Ben Mezrich returns to his fiction roots, blending the research and detail of his nonfiction into the new novel, Seven Wonders. It is just out from Running Press, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Ben Mezrich back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, thanks for having me.
Nice to have you with us. What brought you back and wanting to tell this fictional tale?
Well, you know, I've always wanted to write like a big Indiana Jones type thriller. I was obsessed with that stuff when I was little, and this one actually came about sort of as a movie before it was a book. I was talking to Brett Ratner, the director, who did like the Rush Hour movies, and I guess he just did Hercules. And Brett's someone that I've known since the movie 21, which he was one of the producers on, which was based on my book about the MIT kids.
Right.
And Brett said, I have a story for you, but it's not nonfiction. But if you know anything about the Seven Wonders of the World, I think we could set up a big movie. And that's kind of where it started. So then I put together a book idea because I've always wanted to write about ancient cultures and, you know, the pyramids and all this kind of stuff. And that's where it started from. And then it just got bigger and bigger.
So in your mind, it was always going to be a book first, and then you go do with it what you wish as a movie.
Well, you know, it was the kind of thing where we sold it as a movie and a book simultaneously. So Fox picked up the movie, and they're planning to do a trilogy of films, kind of like an Indiana Jones type thing. And then I wrote the book kind of knowing that this was going to be both things at once. But for me, it's always about the book, and then other people get to control the movie. As the author, I don't have any real control in Hollywood. I just give them the rights to it, and they just go with it. But, you know, I always looked at it as something that would be on the screen at some point.
So the story is about Jack Grady. He is a field anthropologist, and this is where the whole Indiana Jones thing comes in, because we very often considered the 21st century Indiana Jones. So tell us a little bit about Jack Grady.
Sure. He's an anthropologist who is obsessed with ancient cultures. One of the cultures he's been studying for a long time are the Amazons, which are this potentially mythological, no one really knows whether they really existed or not, but this sort of race of warrior women that supposedly lived pre-Greek, pre-Rome, pre-all of these things. And he's researching the Seven Wonders of the World, and he gets sucked into this because his brother discovers a link between these. And, you know, there's two different lists of Seven Wonders of the World. There's the ancient list, which don't really exist anymore. The only one among the ancient Seven Wonders that still exists are the pyramids. And then there's this modern list of Seven Wonders, which is what is more commonly known as the Seven Wonders of the World. And that's kind of this link between these two lists, and the link between the seven that still exist is what leads him into this story.
Meanwhile, it is his brother who brings him into this. His brother, who he is estranged from his brother, and yet his brother ends up murdered. So then he starts going around the world to try to figure out what happened.
Right. His brother is this MIT whiz kid, kind of the type of person I usually write about. And his brother is researching the Seven Wonders of the World from sort of a mathematical, almost satellite perspective. And looking at them, he discovers this strange link between them and then is murdered. And that kind of is what brings his, you know, Jack Grady into the story. So as Jack delves into sort of what happened to his brother, he discovers that each of the Seven Wonders is much more than it seems. And this is all based on real stuff. If you look at places like the Taj Mahal or the Colosseum, Machu Picchu, and these are sort of the big ones, the Great Wall of China, their history gets very murky and very strange. And as you get farther and farther back, all of them have kind of a strange connection. And that's what, you know, I don't want to give too much away because I want people to uncover it for themselves. But there's something weird going on.
And murky for you in the sense that history and mythology play such a large part together.
Right. And one, you know, for instance, one of the themes that runs through this book is the Garden of Eden. And the Garden of Eden, you know, we all kind of know the story of the Garden of Eden with the snake and the tree. And there's what's strange is that almost every culture on Earth and almost every religion on Earth has a Garden of Eden, and described very similarly. There's almost always a tree or a tree of life. There's almost always a snake. There's almost always a piece of fruit, whether it's an apple or a peach or something like that. And these are societies that were thousands of miles apart and thousands of years apart. You know, American Indian tribes had a Garden of Eden. The Hindus had a Garden of Eden. The Sumerians, 8,000 years ago, had a Garden of Eden. And so this is kind of one of these things that has always intrigued me, and each of the seven wonders kind of has a link to it.
When it came to your love of Indiana Jones, do you know what it was about that character, what it was about that story that drew you in?
I mean, I'm sure it's partly because I'm neurotic and scared of just about everything in life. And so the idea of being someone like Indiana Jones, which I could never really be, is what turned me on to this story. And that's kind of been a theme through my whole writing. I always write about people that I vicariously want to be or that I want to live like them, you know, Mark Zuckerberg or MIT kids or whatever it is I'm writing about, who went out and changed the world or did something crazy. And in the same way, Indiana Jones, you know, he dives out there and he's running through the jungle. And I mean, I get sunburned walking outside in Boston. So it's not something that I could actually do. But I don't know. I'm fascinated by it.
So did this project mean you could visit the Seven Wonders of the World?
I mean, certainly that's an appeal of it. I always choose my books because I want to go to exotic places and do it in a controlled fashion. And when we film the movie, we'll get to film this kind of lavish film and all of these great spots in the world. But, you know, for me, it was more about the clues and putting things together and kind of it's almost a game trying to figure out how many connections you can find. Just the element, you know, like a snake. If you go back in history, the element, the idea of a snake, it's in everything and it's everywhere. You'll see it pictured everywhere. And trying to figure out why that is what really gets me going.
When you look at this character of Jack, as you said that you hope this to be a trilogy of films, so I assume it's going to be a trilogy of books. You're up for writing at least two more of these.
Yeah, well, I'm working on the second one right now, so book two is in the works. You know, the first one's about the Seven Wonders of the World. The next one will be about something different with the same character. You know, once we get to the Crystal Skull, we know we're in trouble. But the goal is multiple books and multiple films, and it's, you know, it's up to the audience. If people like it, I'll keep doing it. And so I'm hoping that people really get into it.
Actually, I think when Sean Connery shows up, maybe you're in trouble.
Right.
Will you go back to nonfiction?
I am. I have a big nonfiction out next year, so my goal is to go back and forth. You know, people keep pitching me their stories, so I get a continuous stream of these crazy true stories, and I think that'll keep going for a while, and every now and then I decide to write one. But the goal is one of these Seven Wonders books every year or two and a big nonfiction every year.
So is there ever a point when you're writing a book like this that you say, well, I could have been the anthropologist, I could have been this guy?
Yeah, I was close, you know, in that at college I minored in anthropology, and when I graduated I actually got into graduate programs in anthropology, so I actually did almost become an anthropologist. I would probably have been the guy who sits in the laboratory or sits in the library rather than the guy who dives out into the jungle and fights with the Yanomama or whatever, but I did want to study it, and so I studied a lot of it in college, but I didn't go any farther.
Talk about your coming back to fiction, and the idea was to write fiction, but you fell into nonfiction pretty much by accident.
I did. I mean, I never wanted to be a nonfiction writer. I was wanted to be a thriller writer. I wanted to write sci-fi. I was writing all these kind of medical thrillers, and then I met the MIT Blackjack team, and I started going to Vegas with them every weekend. And, you know, they were these geeky kids who had tons of money, and it was always in $100 bills, and I couldn't figure out why. And so I just started going to Vegas, and they had $1 million in cash that we would play blackjack with, and it was better than all of the fiction I was coming up with. And so that's why I wrote my first true story. And then, you know, the Social Network and the Facebook story came by accident as well. I was sitting at home, and I got an email at 3 in the morning, and this kid said, you know, Mark Zuckerberg screwed me. And I went out for a drink, and it was Eduardo. And if you saw the movie, it was, the guy who ends up playing Spider-Man.
Right.
And it was just this amazing, incredible story. And So, my whole nonfiction career is almost by accident. But this is what I always wanted to do, is write things like Seven Wonders.
And as you say, you became the go-to guy for every college kid, billionaire, and overeducated adrenaline junkie with a story to tell.
Exactly. I mean, 20 to 30 a week, and everything you see in the news, I'll get an email or a letter, you know, a lot of things from prison. But also, you know, anytime a college kid does something stupid, that's where I'm going to get called. And some of these stories have been amazing. You know, I wrote a book called Sex on the Moon about a kid who robbed NASA, and it was awesome, you know. And I wrote another story, Ugly Americans, which was about a kid who went to Japan and earned $500 million and fell in love with the daughter of a Yakuza gangster. And I recently sold that to Jerry Bruckheimer, and we're doing that as a television show. So these stories, you know, they kept coming, and every now and then they're just amazing.
Well, the name of the novel is Seven Wonders. It is published by Running Press. So the book is out now. The movie is expected to be out.
Well, we're working on it now, so, you know, as fast as Brett Ratner can work, we'll see.
Again, it's Seven Wonders and published by Rat Pack Running Press. It's great to have you on the program. Ben Mesrick, thank you very much, and best of luck with the book and the movie.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thanks very much. Again, the title, Seven Wonders. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.